Holy crow, that's a lot of this, Jess. All right. Okay, on topic, approve. On topic, approve. On topic, approve. With a melon? No, off topic. Delete. Yes, I want to delete it. And all of its children? What does that mean? Yes. From a lot of them. Hi, folks. Hi. excuse me. Sorry. Welcome to the diner. I'm James Lilacs, temporarily distracted here. Well, not temporarily distracted, actually. Distraction is the new modus vivendi for me. But I'm glad you could join me here at the diner. At my accustomed place now, at the long boomerang pattern formica counter, diner out on Old Highway 23. We happen to be about 18.5 minutes from wherever you happen to be at this very moment. It used to be 19.5, I know, but cars got faster and the world sped up. My life, in particular, has sped up greatly. This is what it's like to work for a living, apparently. Let me explain. A while ago, I was given a wonderful new opportunity. The bucket came true, and I now find myself technically management. I find myself the editor of a wonderful online site called Buzz.mn. Now, one of the jobs involved in Buzz.mn, besides generating topics and comments and the rest of it, and taking stuff that people have written elsewhere in the site and putting it up and generally just trying to get together a lot of stuff so it's a site where people can go all day long as opposed to once or twice a week. Part of the things I have to do is to approve comments from people who are not registered, and there are lots of them. I didn't know I was supposed to do this when I first got the job, so they sort of built up, you might say. But now that I'm on top of it, I'm constantly checking the browser all day long to see how many new comments there are, because if somebody says something and I want to add it and promote it right back to the conversation, so I have to look at it and approve it and look at it and approve. And most of it is good. Very little spam. You'd be surprised, however, how many people still believe that putting the word pharmacy in the subject line is going to get through filters. I mean, these guys aren't even trying. But it's made for a different sort of life. Here's what life used to feel like. Just a couple of weeks ago. Knopfler local hero. I think they put that in the jukebox this week just to taunt me. Here's what life feels like now. Blog entry. Oh no. Libel in the comments. Delete. 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 Phew. Cialis spam got through. But how? Tighten up the filters, boys. It's gonna be a long night. And so on. It's fun. It's busy, but I'm always busy. And this is just a different kind of busy. Before, I was busy at my own behest doing things that I wish to do, and now I'm being busy in service to something else. Humanity, if you will. Before, I had to turn out one column at 12:30, and you know, now I'm turning out two or three of them in the course of a day, which is great. I love it. What it reminds me of, actually, more than any other job that I've ever had, is waiting tables. And by waiting on tables, I mean the classic, true definition of the job, where you do everything. You bring them water, you bring them menus, you take their order, you bring them food, you bring them dessert, you fill up their coffee an awful lot, and then when they're done, you take their money, you ring it up, and then you bust the table and put the stuff back in the pan for the dishwasher to deal with. That's waiting on tables. I've never understood when you go into a restaurant and you get one person who simply takes your order. How is that exactly a job? Because somebody else brings your coffee, somebody else brings your salad, somebody else brings your food, and as far as I know, somebody else totes up the bill at the end of the night. How is it a how can somebody who just walks out to your table and takes your order, can be how can they consider themselves to be a waiter? They are a declaimer of specials and a writer down of requests. That's it. No, no, my friends. If you want to be called a waiter, you got to do the whole schmear. And that's what I did. And it was fun. I enjoyed it. And I say that now because it's so many years behind me that I can forget all the awful parts of it. The bone weariness that would hit you at about 3 o'clock in the morning when you were on an 11 to 7 a.m. shift. The worst thing about an 11 to 7 a.m. was that it started with this tremendous rush of enthusiasm. People were just coming in, liquored up from downstairs in the bar or elsewhere. And there'd be a party atmosphere upstairs. There'd be a few 10 o'clock scholars still sitting in the booths working on their bad novels or their equations. And then would come up the revelers. And then there'd be a big bar rush with lots of noisy, boozy, happy laughter and the occasional fight. And then everyone would go away, and you'd be left with the people nodding off over their waffles and Eggs Benedict. Not many people ordered the Eggs Benedict. Word got around that a lot of folks had just gotten poisoned by them. Man, we laid a lot of people low with those Eggs Benedict. Whew! I think they kept that hollandaise sauce in the trunk. In any case, people were drinking cheap beer and bad wine downstairs, so maybe, you know, if it was that they eventually ended up geysering out of their throats in the alley outside the restaurant, you'll never know. But I'm thinking the eggs had a lot to do with it. Anyway, around 2 o'clock or so, everyone would drift out. 2:30, 3 o'clock, you'd be all on your own with a tremendous expenditure of energy passed, and you'd be dead. And the place would be pretty much empty, and it would be you and the chef and the radio. And there wasn't much to do but polish and fill things and walk about and claim the thing as your own. But man, you were tired, and you wanted to go home, and as the hours stretched to 4 to 5. Then came the morning crowd. Bleary-eyed or perky-faced, you hated them all. Every man jack of them, because what did they want? They wanted coffee, and they wanted it now. They wanted toast, and they wanted it now. And this kind of jam wasn't right. They wanted the grape jelly. I didn't mispronounce that. We used to have a guy named Wandy. And Wandy always requested more grape jelly. He had that kind of a voice. Grape jelly. Rumor was that Wandy was actually some sort of idiot savant. We got the idiot part right, but rumor had it he'd been struck by a bus or some other such largish vehicle, which had done things to his motor capacity, his motor abilities, his speech, but that his mind was undimmed. We never saw any evidence of this whatsoever. Never. He would come in, a shambling sort of vaguely smelly sort, you get those in college towns, with his thick, greasy glasses sliding down his nose, which he'd push up with the back of his hand and smear his matted hair. Nice guy, gentle enough, but grape jelly! You got tired of it. But apparently at one point Angela Davis came to town and gave a little speech at Northrop Auditorium, which was a few blocks away from the restaurant, and he asked her a very pertinent question about oppression in Angola or something like that, and did so in a classic fashion by shambling his way down the aisle of the Northrop Auditorium and asking, Angela, is it true? And it was a very pointed personal, pertinent question, which she apparently brushed away, and after that we had newfound respect for Wandy, if he said it. Somebody may have been yanking our chains. Chains were yanked aplenty in those days. In any case, they would come in asking for the French toast and the grape jelly and the coffee and the juice and the rest of it, and you'd be absolutely exhausted. You'd been on your feet waitering for Lord knows how long. You had a previous day of school behind you. And now here you are with another 90 minutes of feeding your fellow man ahead until your shift ended at 7 and you could stagger home and go to bed just as your roommates were getting up and banging about and turning on KQRS and starting their day. That was work. Hot, greasy, long, menial. That was work. This is fun. Well, let's see what else is on the jukebox, shall we? I imagine that they've stocked this thing in anticipation of me coming in and complaining about having to actually do something with my time. Let's go to M4.
Evening breeze is sighing, moon is in the sky, little man, it's time for bed.
Oh, no, come on, that's not...
Daddy's little hero is tired and wants to cry. Now come along and rest your weary head. Little man, you're crying, I know why you're blue. Someone took your kitty car away. You better go to sleep now, little man, you've had a busy day.
Yeah, very, very funny. Very funny, little man, you've had a busy day. Very amusing. I'm going to try another one here. P1.
Little man, you're crying. I know why you're blue. Someone took your kitty cat away. Better go to sleep now. Little man, you've had a busy day.
Yeah.
First of all, I'm not a little man. I'm the same height as Napoleon. Who was 5'4" or something, I think, in his shoes. Anyway, I'm not having all the best of luck with the jukebox. Try it again. Third time's the charm.
Moon is in the sky. Little man, it's time for bed.
Oh, you're laughing, aren't you? Oh, you planned this. Little man, it's time to go to bed. Little man, you've had a busy day. Whoa, 50 new emails I have to approve here. Well, you know, I am sort of busy, kind of, in a looking at things and clicking sort of sense. Let me see if I can try the jukebox one more time while I get myself back to work. I'll be with you in just a moment.
And lot of limousine, the swanky yacht. My champagne would fill up any cell. Oh, home there goes the alarm clock. Gotta get up and go for work again. Acting awfully bored, I loaned a buck from Henry Ford. Broke a date with John D. Rockefeller. Oh, home there goes the alarm clock. Gotta get up and go to work again. No more sleep today, must be on my way. Must forget tonight with all its thrills. Gotta get some dough, though an hour ago I lit cigarettes from dollar bills. Going out to dine, I met a girl who was divine. Soon we both were headed for Niagara. Oh, hum, there goes the alarm clock. Gotta get up and go to work again. Thank you.
Ah, yes, the Depression, with their gentle, cheerful, ironic, mocking songs about work. They didn't have any, so they had to make songs about it. You know, I wonder if there was ever another Depression. If they would do like they did in the last one, the last big, you know, the Panic of 29. They paid underemployed writers to drive about the country and write for WPA guides and other things, and brochures and pamphlets and all the rest of it. The modern equivalent of that, I'm sure, would be to pay 50,000 people to write on blogs and then pay 250,000 people to comment on blogs. You could have this entire little paid, government-funded, unread, useless verbiage infrastructure that would keep people off the streets and the apple and the bread lines, I suppose. And you could pay another 25,000 people to click on those blog ads that I personally never do. Because they're never attractive. I'm sorry, they're not. What is it currently? There's some bloody hunk of meat there, and I'm supposed to click and learn the truth about factory farming. I can pretty much guess. It ain't pretty. But one week it's a celebrity website that wants me to take a look at a high-res picture of Paris Hilton's private rash or something, and you know, the next it's this big bloody piece of meat. Click here, see the whole video. No, thank you. Well, anyway, I'm only halfway through these things here, so I'm going to pop up another song for you. And the way they've stocked this jukebox now, I have the firm conviction that it's going to be work-related. But you never know. Let's go to A4.
While you work, put on that grin and start right in. Whistle loud and long, just hum a merry tune. Saddle, baby, baby, baby. Just do your best and take a rest. Sing yourself a song. When there's too much to do, don't let it bother you. Forget your troubles, try to be just like the cheerful chickadee, and whistle while you work. Light up, get smart, tune up, and start. Whistle while you work.
Those messages are posted and ready for people across the world to read on the internet. I'm sorry, I just got a little memo. See, this is how I can tell I'm busy. I'm sending notes to myself that I have this automatic scheduler that just pops up with things I'm supposed to do. Apparently, at this point, I'm supposed to void my bladder. So I'm going to take that piece of advice, and I'll be right back. In the meantime, here's some words from a few of our sponsors.
Friends, send for your set of some of the most exciting toys of the year. 6 giant inflatable toys for only $1, some up to 3 feet tall. You get Bounce-O the Happy Clown, Hoppy the Australian Kangaroo, Roscoe the 2 feet long roller skating bear, Whitey the fat indoor snowman, Mortimer the giant mouse 18 inches long, and last but not least, the great giant talking Santa, a roly-poly giant over 3 feet tall and 32 inches around the belly that actually says Merry Christmas out loud when you pull the tape. That's 6 sensational giant toys for only $1, made of sturdy, gaily colored latex that the kids can easily inflate. Send $1 for each set to Giant Animals, Box 1580, Grand Central Station, New York City. And if you order right now, you get Peter the Rabbit over 2 feet tall absolutely free. If not delighted with your giant animals, your money refunded immediately. Order today. You may never hear this offer again. Rush $1 plus 10 cents for packing and mailing in cash, check, or money order to Giant Animals, Box 1580, Grand Central Station, New York City. That's $1 plus 10 cents for each set with your name and address to Giant Animals, Box 1580, Grand Central Station, New York City.
Can you figure it out? How's my family know when we're having Chef Boyardee spaghetti and meatballs?
Boyo Boyardee.
Boyo Boyardee. Boyo Boyardee. Spaghetti and meatballs!
Chef Boyardee. Great tasting spaghetti and delicious meatballs in a thick, zesty tomato sauce. Only 25 cents a serving. So your whole family will say,
Boyo Boyardee!
Chef Boyardee's spaghetti and meatballs.
And I'm back. And, you know, this is the part in the diner where I usually get to the mail. But I can't even begin to, because it stacks up to the gunwales. And I've got another 50 comments here to approve. There's something else to... no, I shouldn't. Well, frankly, you know what the thing is? I've been blogging for 10 years, right? But it hasn't really been blogging now, has it? It's been the homepage. It's been the online journal. It's been the thing at the end of the day. Like, blogging is all day long, constantly, reacting to the news with quick wits and a sharp tongue. I've had the leisure of reflecting on things and cogitating and dumping it all out around 10 o'clock or so. Now I'm playing with the big guys. Now I'm doing the thing that people have been doing themselves excellently for years. I'm the newcomer. And you know, over the years, I've actually said some rather sarcastic things about people who were blogging. I've criticized them for posting in haste, when I myself had the leisure of thinking and not jumping the gun, and I don't know, I'm thinking that some of these people may actually be looking at this as an opportunity to get some payback. Oh, here's some new comments. Here comes some more. Let me just put something on the jukebox here for you to listen to while I go through these comments.
Hey, could I get some onion rings? The ones you eat like communion wafers? Thanks.
Just a small town girl, living in a took the midnight train.
Oh my god, this comment's from Alex B. No, it's not. It's just... Logon just looked like him.
Just a city boy, born and raised in South Detroit. He took the midnight train.
I don't like the looks of this comment. This guy's a registered user, but who chooses... Who chooses members only as their logon? Well, maybe he's a fellow 80s fan. Great. Oh, wow. It's a comment from a guy from high school. I beat him in a high school debate tournament. Absolutely whacked him. Wow. Haven't thought about him in years. There he is. He didn't like what I wrote. Coming and coming and coming. This is really quite extraordinary. And there's the stuff in my personal email, too. It's odd. I can't shake the feeling that I know all these people. Well, I do, some of them. I mean, people I work with, friends, relatives, neighbors, guy down at the grocery store. And in an odd way, I feel like I even know the people who I don't know, simply because I've been reading what they've said to me all these years, just as I've been reading what I've been saying to them. But I can't help shake the feeling that something's about to end. And I don't know what it is. It's not the diner, for heaven's sakes. Good Lord, I'd be lost without this place. Wouldn't know where to go at the end of the day. It's not the bleat. I'm not giving that up. Gotta have one place where I can stick in the small, little, useless quotidian domestic details that don't merit inclusion in an institutional blog. No, not my family life, for heaven's sakes. That's as good as ever. Not my status as a father. We've got our whole summer together ahead. But something feels like it's ending. Here's another letter. Ooh, that guy. Jeez. He wrote me a really, really, really nasty letter a few years ago. I had to turn that one over to the cops. Turns out he was a cop, too. That made it even worse. More letters. And I can't shake the feeling that something is going to happen.
Hey, can I get my money back on this thing? It just cut out. It's just a nickel, that's all. Thanks.
Anyway, something's ending, and I know what it is. The old life. And now a new one begins. Job changes will do that for you. They're good for a man. And I'm looking forward to the rest of this. Anyway, I gotta get back to the mail, folks. Thanks for stopping by. I'm James Lilex, and this has been The Diner for Friday, June 15th, 2007. We'll see you down the road. Oh, and also at buzz.mn.